having a terrible week? Well, hang in there, because we are back with your favorite Avatar, The Last Airbender Rewatch Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Zach Muhammad, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Jacob Redmond. Jacob, how you doing on this fine evening?
I'm doing great. We haven't had enough weather talk on this podcast, Zach, but the heat wave in Chicago has ended. I'm finally getting to enjoy summer. It's been fantastic. So, I've been doing great. Zach, how are you?
Good. You know, it's a funny coincidence. The heat wave here in Vancouver just ended as well. We were at 35 degrees Celsius, close and nearing on that 100 degrees Fahrenheit once again, but now it's cooled off.
Yeah.
Nice breezy day, so I can't complain.
I mean, it's just I know this was a joke for a bit. We talk about the weather, but the weather really can just change my mood. I feel like May in this episode, who's just in a strangely good mood lately, things are just looking up. Life is good, Zach.
No, I agree. I had a good productive day today, actually applying for jobs and stuff and whatnot. So, I mean, I agree with you. Things are looking up for both of us, so.
We do love productivity. I would say I have not had a productive day or productive week, but that's been part of the fun. You can't be productive all the time, I guess.
Yeah, why not? Take some chill days. Who cares?
Exactly. Zach, this is not just any podcast. This is a one-year anniversary podcast. Felipe pointed this out to me that this episode will come out 1 year to the date when season one, episode one dropped.
What a momentous occasion, and what a coincidence that it's the season three premiere is the anniversary of the season one premiere we did. That's crazy.
I agree. It is pretty wild that it lined up that way. No one would have expected that, but hey, here we are 1 year later. It's exciting stuff. We did actually record that episode 2 months before.
Yes, we did. We did it a while before. Technically, we've been podcasting with each other for more than a year, and this has been in the works for more than a year as well, but yes. I know what you mean.
Yes, we will fudge the numbers a bit so that we can, make it even more special that it's coming out to the date on that day. Anyway.
Should we get into Felipe's question that he asked?
Yeah. Yes, we should. So Felipe pointed this out. Honestly, producer Felipe at this point told us about this. And he said, with that in mind, here's a wholesome question. What is something you've taken from each other, both as a podcaster and a person, in the last year?
See, I'll take this on. What I love about you, Jacob, it's your positive energy that you just seem to attack everything with. You just come in with this lighthearted, exuberant, positive energy. And me, sometimes I'm a darker, more moody individual, but I feel like you bring out that super positive side in me. And I feel like that's a great quality you have as a person and as a podcaster. So.
That is so kind. I really do appreciate that. I feel talking with you the past year, going over the Avatar universe has just been a great way to channel that positivity into something so fun. And I'm so glad that other people are along the way. But just talking with you every week about the show has just been great. Zach, the thing that I have learned from you is it's the same thing that I love about Akiva.
All right.
The fact that you will roll with it. I will come in, I will say some random things, and you're just here for it. You're ready to go. You're great at matching the energy. You're great at who is the best jumper in Avatar? Who would be great on the basketball team? The banter that we have is fantastic. So that is what that's what I think I've taken away from this year.
Oh, what a wholesome way to start the episode, honestly.
Right? I mean, compliments to start a podcast, there's no way to get happier. However, we're talking about an episode of Avatar that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, this is a dark, depressing episode, honestly. Right? It's not happy. Aang is going through a lot. Zuko's going through a lot. We'll get into all of it. Season 3, Episode 1, The Awakening, correct?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Should we restart the podcast and be sad this time to set the mood for the podcast?
Having a terrible week like Aang and Zuko did.
Exactly.
Well, hang in there. We are back. No, I'm just playing.
You're just going to be the whole time just all right. Yeah, so this happened. It was sad.
Channeling our inner maze.
Oh my gosh. I love May. May is, yeah. People like May are just the best. I feel like, people like May, when they are nice to you, you know that they really like you because That's they hate true. Everything else.
That's a very good point, actually. Yeah, people like May, you're right. If they like you, they really like you. You know it for real.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like one thing that in college we would always try to do is have a sieve so that we'd like quickly get to know if like someone was worth spending time with. So we'd all have like different things that we would like mention either on like first dates or when you're getting to like know someone so that you could like know if like you would vibe long term. I feel like having someone like May is like the perfect sieve because like you can tell immediately if she like cares at all because if she doesn't like you, she would just let you know.
Damn, I gotta do some sieves like that in my life. Need me some maize.
It's effective. Mine was mentioning reality TV. That one helps. You mentioned reality TV, and if they're like, "Oh, you watch Survivor," it's like, "Yeah, this is like no point."
Every time I mention Survivor, it's gone poorly. Either they're like they have no idea what Survivor is, or they're like, "Oh, you still watch Survivor?" Or I have two friends who aren't going to listen to this. They're like, "You know, Survivor's scripted, right?" And I'm like, "Dude, I'm like what?" And they were like, they would not take no for an answer. I was like trying to explain to them how Survivor is not scripted. They just refuse to listen. So yeah, every time I bring up reality TV, it goes poorly. So that's not my go-to sieve, to say the least.
But it should be because, or I guess maybe like reality TV, you know, you're not like obsessing over it as much as I am. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah. If like it is important, like, you know, you should just like learn it early on that it's not going to work out. And you're like, great, we don't have common interest. And there you go. It's very effective. I would say this is a great way to get to know quickly whether someone is worth investing in.
All right. Well, this is a great icebreaker activity to do. I'm sure the listeners are going to use, everyone listening is going to be using these sieves.
Yeah, this is, this is what you come to Angin there for, is relationship advice from me, who has no business giving relationship advice whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody out there will appreciate it. I'm sure.
All right. This episode starts off, like, pretty intensely. Like, we start with Aang, like, waking up, immediately seeing his son on a Fire Nation ship, and, like, pretty quickly we're able to piece together the puzzles, but I did think the start was very, very strong.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, of course it's strong because we got the return of Pipsqueak. Because what ends up happening? Aang wakes up and we hear a familiar voice chasing him down. And then we see Aang walk out onto the ship's deck and be greeted by everyone in Fire Nation garb, including Pipsqueak and the Duke.
Yes. And Aang over here shoots like an air blast to like try to knock these Fire Nation people down. He must have been so weak because like I get that he's not going to like knock over Pipsqueak, but he doesn't even knock over the Duke. Like, come on now.
True. I mean, it's a weak blast. You're right. I mean, he must have been so exhausted and tired. To be fair, he's been unconscious for weeks on end. So I understand.
I feel like even... Never mind. I was about to say I could knock him over after I was unconscious, but like that's just such a weird take that no one needed to know.
I don't think that's true. I don't think me or you are knocking down Pipsqueak. You see, that man's built like a brick shit house. Pardon my language.
A what? Is that an expression?
Yeah, I think so. Or like something like that.
What?
Let me see. Let me look this up.
Okay. I mean, I believe you. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. Shit brick house. That's the term. I think I mixed it up.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense. It makes a lot more sense.
And I just cussed for no reason. I was trying to make like a little funny pun. I was like, in my head, I was like, okay, I'll cuss at this moment because it'll make for a pun. And it didn't even work. Mm-hmm. So we'll just skip on ahead.
No, that was good. So far we're influencers, Zach. So far people use sieves and they're going to say, a brick shit house?
Shit brick house. Yeah.
No, they're going to say it the wrong way. We're influencers, Zach.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. What a start to this podcast. My goodness. I mean, I'm having a great time, but man, we are.
We started off so wholesome. Now we're barely talking about the episode. Maybe we should start over.
Nah, we'll keep going. I mean, we'll cut out the one part, but we'll keep going.
Oh, okay.
Well, so
I'm gonna get many people messaging me once the part you cut out.
Oh yeah, definitely. We'll get the messages. I mean, you don't have to respond to those messages. I'm not responding to them. I'm just leaving people on red for sure.
Oh my gosh. All right. So we see that they're on this Fire Nation ship. Great. Mm-hmm. Aang looks confused until he sees Momo. And like, I feel like he should have been able to see everyone else. Like Momo, and like in the shot that we see, like he sees Momo first. But I feel like that should not be like the first thing that gives it away. Like Katara's like right there. Like, is that not enough for him?
Yeah, I think to Aang, in defense of Aang, he had just woken up from like a week-long nap. He's a little groggy, he's a little fuzzy. All he's seeing is just like Fire Nation uniform. Until he sees Momo not wearing a Fire Nation uniform, like licking his face, then he comes to the realization that, oh, okay, these people are not Fire Nation. So I kind of get that Momo is the first thing. I'm surprised he didn't see Appa somewhere lying around, but I'm not too surprised Momo is what brought him back to reality.
Okay, that's fair. And then the other thing that I liked was that Sokka's in like the full Fire Nation uniform, like with the face thing.
Yeah.
I think that they missed a good joke though. I think they should have
joke they missed.
They should have put Toph in one of those, and they should have had like either it on backwards or something to where she couldn't see, and like someone correct her and she's like, "What are you talking about? I can't see." Or like something like that. I don't know the exact joke, but there's some comedy there.
That would have been pretty good, and it would have brought some comedy to an otherwise like heavy episode. So it would have been nice to have a lighthearted moment in the beginning, right before they set everything up. So you're right. I think that would have been great writing.
All right. Well, they should have let me write it as a 6-year-old.
Gotta hit up Aaron Ehaus, the head writer of Avatar.
And say, "You've done a fantastic job." I'm not going to criticize the writer of one of my favorite
This episode needed more comedy. Here's how it could have been fixed. Let's send him a scathing email right now.
Okay. Link him to the podcast. He gets like 2 minutes in. He's like, "They're not even talking about Avatar. What are we doing here?"
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, okay. We see like they're all in this Fire Nation ship. I thought that this was like a nice way to start the episode. Then we see, we cut to Zuko. Zuko is staring off into the distance. And when we get Aang, like I kind of realized, you know, okay, he's not going to be in the greatest mood. But when Zuko is in like a really crummy mood, I was like, all right, this is angsty boy season. Like we are going full angst this episode.
Yeah, and this episode will bring us the angst in droves between Aang like running away, Zuko and like confronting Azula, and like Zuko could talk to his father for the first time. Yeah, a lot of teen angst this episode for sure, yeah. Which I don't love in young adult fiction, to be honest, but I get it. It's like part of being a teen, so it makes sense within the episode, but it's just not my favorite thing to watch sometimes.
Oh, I mean, this is exactly how I felt as a teen, though. Like, even my life was like the stakes were so low. Like, these people are trying to save the universe. I was over here, like, I don't know, getting kicked out of science class. And, like, the whole time I was, like, feeling angsty about it.
Damn, what'd you get kicked out of science class for, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I tried to. Like, I actively tried to get kicked out.
Wow, look at edgy old Jacob over here. I mean, so
I think I've actually mentioned this to you before. I had a competition with one of my friends to see if I could get kicked out fastest. And like one time I walked in, I was like, "I'm late." And then the teacher was like, "You're out of the class." And I was like, 2 seconds, new record.
Nice. Man, I got kicked out of class and I wasn't setting any records. So that sucks.
I mean, you could have been. All you have to do is change your mindset. you think you're getting kicked out of class. You're actually breaking world records.
Motivational speaker Jacob over here. All right.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Okay. Done.
Should we get into Zuko and May's touching moment?
Yes, we should. I did like, so May like comes and tries to comfort him. But even when like she's comforting him, she's still very sassy. And I absolutely love that. Like, I love a little bit of sweet, a little bit of sassy. Love it.
Yeah, she pairs well with Zuko, who's usually depressed and moody. And she's able to like, in a weird way, bring him up.
Yes, they definitely, the two of them together are like, you know, they're a good pair. They're a good pair.
Yeah, what, they match.
I'm trying to see what she said here. Yeah, she said like, "Oh, I just asked if you're cold, not your whole life story." That was like, yes.
That was one of the funnier lines in the whole episode, to be honest. That gave me a hearty chuckle there.
Yeah, that's fair. Especially because Zuko, like, he has a tendency to go into monologues. He has a tendency to like talk about his feelings like in long paragraphs. But then, like, for the fact that May just, like, immediately responds by shutting him down was great.
Nah, facts. This was a great little touching scene between the two of them.
Speaking of touching, that kiss was dramatic.
It was passionate.
It was passionate. It was a lot. It was a lot.
Had you in your feelings?
I mean, you have a girl like May coming up here, giving Zuko sass and then giving him a kiss. Like, what more can you ask for?
True. Very romantic start to the
very
episode.
Very romantic. So then we go back to Team Avatar Fire Nation ship. And Aang is like confused. He's, you know, like not really getting why he's there. He asks like a bunch of questions here. And then Katara says something about like, I like your hair. And he like immediately freaks out.
He's like, I have hair. How do you like Aang's look with hair? I think it's a pretty good look for him, to be honest. I don't think I don't think it's the worst look.
He looks ugly.
He looks ugly with hair? Really?
Yes. So like, okay. Like adult Aang, which we see in like Korra at some points, like he looks good. I like adult Aang. Kid Aang with hair just looks so wrong.
Does adult Aang have hair in Korra?
Well, he has a beard.
Oh, he has a beard, but not hair. Okay.
No, and that beard is working. but the hair that he has here just looks so out of place. It doesn't do it for me, especially because like, so he still has that arrow like coming out of it and it just doesn't. Yeah. It doesn't.
I guess we'll agree to disagree here. Cause I think in the headband episode, which we'll talk about next week, he's got the headband on. It's a good look. I think
the headband is a much better look. I think that whole Fire Nation outfit that he's in is fine, but yeah. The hair part itself, not a huge fan of. I think part of his look is that he doesn't have hair. Like, I kind of like that he has, like, you know, his little bald thing, and then we see Zuko with all the different hairstyles.
True, true, true. And then we get here, Hakoda introduces himself to Aang, but then he's, like, brushed off by Katara, like, instantly. Which I didn't love from Katara here. Hakoda didn't do anything wrong. He's just trying to, like, reacquaint himself with the Avatar who he's never met before.
Yeah, I mean, like, Hakoda's been fighting this war for years, and he's, like, trying to meet the person who has the best chance to end it, and Katara is just like, go away, dad. Like, I don't know. Also, this is like Aang's first chance to meet his crush's parents. Like, that's kind of a big deal.
True. And Aang, I think he leaves a pretty good first impression. They do like the water bending handshake and stuff. So
yeah,
it worked well for Aang.
I definitely think that Aang is like very good at meeting parents. Like, he's excited. Like, he's like a happy person in general. Aang is like also the Avatar. So I would say, like, in terms, if you're going to bring someone home, like bringing home the Avatar is like, it's a good one.
True. It's a pretty good flex, honestly. I think no parent's going to complain if you brought home the Avatar.
No, my mom would be like, great, welcome in. yeah. Zach, are you good with, other people's parents?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like jovial and nice. So it works
okay,
out.
Yeah.
I'm like polite. Work. How about you? Are you good with other people's parents?
Oh, of course. Other people's parents love me. You know, I'm like, I'm nice. I'm not like brown nosing, but yeah. Have you ever seen Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
Crazy Ex-Girlfriend? No. Who's in it? Maybe I've heard of it.
Rachel Bloom. It's like a TV show that's on CW. Fantastic show. Hilarious. Absolutely love it.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is a great show, but they have a song called I Give Good Parent. Very true. I do give good parent.
Give good parent. That's an interesting song title.
I mean, it's true. You know, I'm not as good as the Avatar. Like, obviously if you can bring home the Avatar, like bring home the Avatar, but, I'm not like a bad second option.
I feel like you would be way better with other people's parents than I would. I feel like that's in your bag.
Yeah. Okay. I'll take that. I will take the compliment. Yeah. I think you would probably be better with other people's friends. I can like vibe with the older people, like the parents, but I feel like if you're going to introduce like me to a group of someone else's friends, I think that you'd be better there.
Okay. There we go. Well, we all got our hidden talents.
Yeah. Well, mine's not hidden. I'm bragging about it. I'm singing it on the rooftops.
Oh, there we go. You're singing. What is the song called? You Got Good Parent?
Exactly. I'm going to go down to the like a festival or whatever is happening like a block down from me and just announce it to everyone.
Just grab the mic out of somebody's hands.
Yeah, they're literally like over there playing. And I'm just going to be like, hello, parents like me, and then walk away. For context, there's like a random, there's like a random concert going on in my street. So if anyone's, dancing while they listen to the podcast, then that's why. It's, you know, it's soft, but it's there.
Okay. Anything else from Aang and Katara meeting Hakoda? And by the way, nope. we're really NGOG-ing this episode off, honestly. not too much Avatar talk in the first 20 minutes, but hey, it's perfect. All good.
Well, this episode is like, whatever. Like, it's so many plot points. It's so many things that happen and like conversations. Like, there's not like a ton. I feel like, you know,
no, we're making it fun.
Yeah, I feel like the analysis of like how good we are at parents is a lot better.
That's fair.
Anyway, yeah. Okay, so we go back. Aang is like, asks Katara, like, are you mad at your dad? And it's like, yes, what do you expect? Like, why are you even asking this question? And then the fact that Katara says no, like, Aang, call her out on her shit.
That's true. I was just about to say, but Katara says no. You're right. Of course she's angry at her dad.
Like, clearly a lie. So, like, what are you talking about?
We need Toph here to be, like, the lie detector and, like, determine that Katara's lying.
That is true. Toph, in this episode, should have been an absolute, like, cheat code. Like, she should. We can get to this when they're, like, fighting the ships. Like, that ship should have been done in, like, 0.1 seconds.
Like, what do you think? They should have like catapulted Toph to the ship and had her like metal bended into the sea or something?
Well, she was already touching the ship like through the metal like whenever it was on the bridge. Like, she should just like literally crumple the entire ship. Like, done.
I don't know if she can though, unless she's like touching it maybe.
Okay, then catapult her over. Have Pipsqueak throw her. And then, oh, I guess you can't have Aang fly over there. So she's kind of in trouble. Then have Katara waterbender back. Done. I just solved that fight in like 1 second. Maybe I should have written this episode.
Are we gonna have that fight in the battle of the battle rankings? It was kind of a ho-hum yes. Fight. We will? Okay.
I don't know. Do you not want to? Like I guess
fine. Does it even count as a fight though, is my question. This like naval warfare between the two ships.
There is fighting that happens. I guess we don't rank all the fights. We can do whatever we want. It's our podcast. We'll see when we get there.
You know, okay, what? There we go. I like the energy for Jacob. Jacob's listening. There we go. Okay.
We're not going to tell the listeners. You have to listen to the end of the podcast to see if we even rank it in our segment.
There Boom. We go. Boom. Drop the bomb on them.
Exactly. Okay, so then, Katara is going to go heal Aang. This is like very nice that Katara is there. I feel like she's essentially like having a masseur always around, like ready to help you. But it does seem like she's like not really like she doesn't have the soft touch that's required. Like she ends up like getting to his trauma like really quickly. And I'm not sure like that's the best thing to do.
But it doesn't that like help Aang because he says she's in the right spot when he like relives the traumatic moment of getting struck down. He says like she's in the correct spot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't think I would want to relive this. Like this does seem like a very bad moment for Aang. So like I'm not sure I would want to know. Maybe I just like want some ignorance is bliss type energy here. But I don't know. Like I think that Katara should have been like a little bit softer maybe and like gotten him into it, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe like this was good. Face it on head first and tackle your problems.
You know what's crazy though? Aang realizes here that he was actually dead and that the spirit water from the North Pole brought him back to life. Do you have what he says verbatim? He's like, I was gone, is what he says, right?
Yeah, he says, like, I didn't just get hurt, did I? It was worse than that. I was gone, but you brought me back. That's like a pretty big deal. Like now he's got a life debt to Katara.
True. I mean, yeah. And at least they're going to get married and like, she'll be able to repay that life debt, but damn.
Wait, she'll other way.
Around. Oh, other way around. Other way around.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He'll repay it to her. Yeah.
Hopefully he was, you know, a nice husband. I don't know why I would speculate that he wasn't. There's no reason to assume
From
he wasn't.
All we've seen, Aang is like the nicest, most caring husband and father. So
that is very true. Yeah, no, I like, It is surprising here that, like, yeah, he apparently died. Like, they say that right here, like, he was dead and the water brought him back. And, like, having that water from the North Pole is so clutch. They really set that one up quite well. The one thing that I don't like, and they do this many times throughout this episode, is they flash us back to what happened in the episode before. And I get why they're doing it. You know, this is a kid show. Like, kids might be forgetful. Like, maybe during the school year, they, like, forgot what was happening in Avatar. But it was kind of annoying.
Yeah, especially because the way we're watching the show, we're watching it week by week. It was kind of annoying because we literally just saw all this happen, like, less than a week ago.
Well, I mean, we had a few weeks of doing, like, other random things.
Oh, yeah. Or, like, 3 weeks ago. Sorry about that. You're right.
But, like, I think it would have been even worse. Like, if I watched this episode right back to back, like, I would just be like, all right, come on. I just saw this. Like, yeah, we get it. Like, he got hit by lightning. Yes, done. And then the next scene we get is we go and we see Tweedledum and Tweedledee, or as they're called, Lee and Lo.
Oh, the old ladies. Yeah. With the huge ears. That's what I noticed for some reason. They have, like, the longest ears.
That is true. They do have very long ears.
I don't even have that in my notes, but every time I picture Lo and Lee, I just picture their long ass ears. It's, like, unnerving.
No, that's right. Ears. Yeah, that is a creepy part of the body to be, like, way too long.
Yeah, it's like having a super long nose.
Yeah, but even, like, a long nose is, like, not, like, that long. Like, no one has a nose that's, like, dripping past their chin. Whereas, true, like, their ears are, like, very, very large.
Except, you know who have noses like that? Those monkeys that, like, live in the snow. They got noses that, like, you know the ones I'm talking about? They got the huge noses. They look
those
funny.
Monkeys look so stupid.
I agree.
Oh, man. Those monkeys look dumb. They should make a portmanteau animal in Avatar with that monkey. What would it mash up well with?
Maybe like a bird, like half, like that's like the beak. You don't think so?
No. Okay. Sorry. I way too intense. Let me 1 second. The flying monkeys from Wizard of Oz are too scary.
That's true. They are.
And I do not want any other monkeys that can fly on the off chance that they are also scary.
That's fair.
But maybe in the HBO show, they have these like flying monkeys come and kidnap people.
That would be horrible. Imagine somebody commanding like an army of like flying monkeys in Avatar and that's their power. There's just some non-bender with an army of monkeys.
Exactly. I feel like even though Bumi is a bender, Bumi would still just decide that he's gonna like command an army of monkeys, like instead of having Flopsy.
I was so disappointed Bumi didn't go that far in our Survivor brand steal. I'm still sad about that.
Yeah, that is true. It is a little disappointing. Oh, Zach, we have old business that we're going to deal with 20 minutes into the show. Is this
okay.
fine?
Yeah, sure. Race? Let's do it up. Okay, what are we doing here?
There is a lot of talk in the Discord about bottled water, and I loved it. You know, this is something that I mentioned last week. The question was, if you pour bottled water in a glass, is it still bottled water? This came up in the, like, when I went to the Yankees game, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. So we had Professor Strunk and Davis Kama Will debating about this in the Discord. And I want to give, Davis Kama Will's arguments light, but I think Professor Strunk said exactly what was on my mind. So I need to make sure that I like read it. Did you have a chance to look at this?
I skimmed this, but I forget who's on whose side. So like with the listeners, I'll be like listening anew basically.
All right. Perfect. Okay. So Davis Kama Will, said that if he poured a bottle of water into a glass, it would be a glass of bottled water or a particularly cheeky unbottled water, which I appreciated. Then he points out that otherwise, if water is no longer bottled, once it leaves the bottle, it's impossible to drink bottled water because as soon as it leaves the bottle and into your mouth, it's just water and that's ridiculous. Which I think is like overly, overly pedantic. Mm-hmm. But then the professor stepped in and set this straight, I think, just defining the argument. He said there are four things at play. One, chemical composition of water, mineral versus fluoride. Two, the brand of water, Dasani versus Fiji. Three, the geographic source of water, Fiji versus river water. Or four, the vessel that contains the water, so like bottled water or boxed water. or boxed wine, I guess is what he said. Then he said, my take is the chemical composition, brand, and geographic source remain unaffected by the act of pouring water into a glass. The same is not true for the vessel category. Once you pour water into a glass, the vessel changes. It becomes a glass. Hence, bottled water is no longer bottled water when it's poured into a glass, unless it has a distinct chemical composition or something like that. Facts.
There we go.
Ends the debate.
What does it become when it's in the glass? Glassed water? Is that the term for it?
I think it's a glass of water.
Well, I'm glad we had this momentous debate settled.
And yeah, Davis Cumberwill did come back with like a pretty good argument about canned corn being canned corn outside of a can. But you know what? Confirmation bias. I'm giving the win to the professor here.
You know what? I'll just tie it up. I agree with Will. I agree with Will.
Sorry. Now.
Just to make things interesting, bottled water in a glass is still bottled water. There you go.
You agreed with me last week.
I know. I do. I still do deep down, but to make things interesting.
You're just trolling me?
Yeah, I'm just trolling. To make things interesting, I'll just agree with Will. So then when he comes on the podcast, he has somebody on his team, right?
I'm upset. I'm upset now.
Anyways,
I can't believe you're doing this just to spite me.
Well, I haven't done anything out of spite, as we established on the podcast before, so this is the first thing I'll do out of spite. There we go.
All right, we're not making it to our 2-year podcast anniversary at this rate.
Wow, we've gone all over the place this episode. All right, so Lo and Lee, the old ladies with the huge ears, they're like speaking of Azula's and Zuko's accomplishment in front of this huge crowd of Fire Nation soldiers. Anything we need to get into in this scene? Not really. We can kind of yada yada it. Unless you have some strong opinions.
No, this was boring. Like these people, they just literally recap what happens. They like quickly go over like the highlights. Azula wins. Dai Li takes down the wall. Fire Nation has the capital. Like, done.
Yeah, there you go.
All of this setup was like kind of weird because, you know, they're talking about this. Like, they're saying stuff that we already know. They're like introducing other stuff via montage. Like this, the past scene, like all of these scenes that just like tell you the exact things that happened, like giving you a bunch of plot points. You're just kind of boring. The only thing that makes this better is that sometimes they speak in unison, which means that the speech was rehearsed. That part I do like.
I did not even notice that. So good little observation there from you.
Another observation. We see June in the background in Ba Sing Se.
I didn't see her. I saw the couple with the baby, Hope. The couple with the baby named Hope. Oh. I saw them in the background, but I didn't see June. That's interesting.
Cool. Well, I did not notice that. So I guess together we both noticed, together we hopefully noticed everything.
Maybe. Shout out to June, second place. Was it Jin?
Now I'm guessing myself.
Is it Jin, the girl that like Zuko was with?
Zuko went on a date out.
Yeah, that's Jin. That's Jin. Yeah, June Jin. Is like with the lipstick and like the whip.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, my bad. All right. So, here I am noticing things, and then my notes are wrong.
All good. Jin, June. I mean, they're similar names.
Thank you for giving me credit for that. The next scene we get, again, super boring. It's just Sokka that is now describing stuff. And we have like 3 scenes back to back to back that are just like, here's exactly what happened. Here's what you've missed while Aang was passed out. It's like, all right. Like, I'm bored.
Yeah, Sokka explains to Aang that the Earth King decided to travel alone, which I thought was a little funny. You just see him on Bosco riding away into the sunset while they captured and command Deer to Fire Nation ship. And then they're still going to invade on the Day of the Black Sun, but with a smaller ragtag group. That's pretty much it from this scene.
Exactly. I didn't like the fact that Bosco and the Earth King are chilling together. I have to imagine that having a bear with you makes you extremely easy to recognize. So like the Earth King's probably going to get caught within like a week, but hey, hats off. Have fun.
Yeah. Oh, I said that was off from the scene. I forgot. Sokka also lets Aang know that everyone thinks he's dead, much to Aang's chagrin. Aang is not happy to receive this information.
Yes. Yes. This is the big part of the scene, is that it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, no one knows that you're still alive. And that really sends Aang into a spiral, which makes sense. Like, it makes a lot of sense. Aang literally was gone for 100 years. He's already like feeling like he's abandoned his people. Like, it makes sense. Yeah. Like, I would be upset too if the world thought I was dead.
Yeah, I understand Aang's angst this episode and the pain he's dealing with, because after, like you said, he abandoned the world once before, stuck in an iceberg for 100 years, and now he feels like he abandoned the world again, and he failed in Ba Sing Se, so he failed and abandoned the world, which is, like, a lot of weight on, like, this, like, what, 11-year-old kid's shoulders?
Well, and, like, he lost. Like, the only reason he was able to, like, stay in the game and be alive is because Katara was there to save him. Like, if he did not have that group of people, he would have been gone. And, like, I think he knows that, like, when he was in the Avatar state, if he died, the Avatar doesn't get reincarnated. So, like, a pretty big mess up from Aang here. It's got to weigh on him quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true.
Yeah. And yeah, he's very upset. I did like how many times he said no. He was like, no. I appreciate that.
That's like a common thing in sitcoms. I feel like the no.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I've never once heard that, but maybe I'll work it into a conversation tomorrow. I'll test it out. We'll see how it goes.
All right.
Anyway, so we see a Fire Nation ship approaching, and Aang is, like, ready to go attack. He's like, great, let's go take him down. I feel like he should have been able to take them down, because if he takes down the ship, then, like, who are they going to report it to? They're gone.
True, but he's still, like, injured, because then he says he's about to go take it down, and then he, like, stutters and, like, can't even open his glider, so.
No, that is very fair. Yeah, but, like, even if he, like, I feel like that's the reason why he shouldn't do it, and not because, like, he cannot be known.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That makes sense.
Yep. So then, like, they have this plan. They're going to, you know, try to talk their way out of it. Hakoda and your favorite are going to go and take care.
Yeah, my favorite, Bato.
Bato of the Water Tribe. Oh, my God, what a trash character. I mean, we get the good and bad, right? We get Bato and we get Pipsqueak.
Like, I know. What a coincidence.
Would you take the trade if you could?
Yeah, I'd take both of them. I'd better to have Pipsqueak around and Bato. And then Hakoda says he's from the Eastern Fleet, but his excuse doesn't work. You know who I blame for screwing this up? I blame Bato. Bato wasn't a good enough actor. It's his fault they got caught.
how is it Bato? Bato actually, like, steps in. He's like, oh, like, there's no disrespect meant, sir. Like, you know, it's fine. I think Bato did a fine job. I think they just got unlucky because this, like, random admiral has been, like, I don't know, chilling on an island for a while.
No, you're right. I just wanted to blame Bato for something. That's just, like, my innate hatred for him in his episode.
We really should go back and re-rate that episode just so we can, like, rank it, like, a 0.5 or something.
Maybe in, like, the season 3 finale, like, when we're all wrapping up the podcast, that'll be, like, the final thing we do. We'll just, like, go in the edit function and, like, make it a zero.
Perfect. Sounds good to me. Yeah, so then, okay, so they're going to talk to this Fire Nation officer. I wanted to ask you, could they have found a Fire Nation officer that looks more lame? Like, this guy looks like a C-tier level bad guy. He looks like, yeah, he looks so boring.
Yeah, he kind of looks like that, like, Earth Nation wrestler who was supposed to be a fire, who was supposed to be part of the Fire Nation. You know what I'm talking about?
Fire Nation Man?
Fire Nation Man. Yeah, it kind of looks like him, just like a generic bad guy.
Yeah, but, like, he's got some weird looking hair. Like, he's getting upset about not getting a hawk message or something. He's like, like, he's all antsy. Like, this guy's so boring. Like, imagine if this was Admiral Zhao and that's who we, like, dealt with as a season one antagonist. Like, the show would just be so lame.
True, but this is, like, I don't mind when, like, a one episode antagonist is kind of boring, or, like, a one-off Fire Nation character. It's like, it makes sense for them to be boring. Can't give them too much flair.
I agree. Like, we don't need a spinoff from this person, but, like, they do a great job of having one episode antagonists. Like, true, I know the Rough Rhinos have been around, like, a few times, but, like, when we have people come in and are super interesting, like, I appreciate that.
That's true. Like, the Warden in season one with imprisoned, exactly. He was a good one episode antagonist. So you're right.
Yeah. And then here, Toph, like, is super clutch because Toph, like, catches a whisper that they're gonna, like, get taken over or something. The Fire Nation officer is like, okay, this isn't right. Something's wrong here. We're gonna sink the ship. Now, let's say that the Fire Nation officer was wrong. What's the punishment for sinking your own ship? Because, like, they don't know for a fact that this is, like, a commandeered ship. They're not gonna be able to confirm that.
Yeah, I mean, hypothetically, if they were wrong, I mean, I don't know, their punishment might be death in the Fire Nation. They don't seem to take military failures lightly, so they might have been getting obliterated by Azula or something, like lightning bolted on the spot if they were wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it does seem like a pretty high stakes thing to do. Like, I'm not sure I would take the risk and sink a ship, but hey, good for that guy. At least he's confident.
I mean, he was right, ultimately, so.
He was right, but he just got lucky. Like, he did not know that he was right, so.
That's fair. That's
because, like, someone was, like this Admiral Chan person was, like, busy for the past 2 months. Like, that's why they, like, see that the story is a lie. But then, like, I don't know, like, the ship could have gotten instructions from, like, 3 months ago. Like, you don't know.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I don't have too much to say because you're just spitting facts right now.
Just like the bottled water debate, Zach.
The bottled water debate. Nah, ultimately, I do agree with you. I mean, bottled water, once it's out of the bottle, it's not bottled, in my opinion. That about sums up my opinion on it.
Perfect. Perfect. Yeah, we can have Davis Kama Will talk to us next week about why we're wrong.
There we go.
Anyway, so Toph is like, great. These people know... super clutch that she's able to do this. She's able to say, okay, we're going to try to like get rid of the, or we're going to like try to push the ship away. Katara creates a wave. She like makes the guard and the whatever officer like go into the water. She should have just like immediately TKO'd the ship. Like there's no reason why like a waterbender and a metalbender can't knock down a ship within a second, but whatever.
Yeah, true. No, you're right. And we're going to see Toph like destroy some like ships in the finale. So you're right.
Exactly.
She should be able to do this.
She literally, like, will bend a blimp and then, like, cause it to get, like, demolished. Like, she can easily sink the ship. All you have to do is put a hole in it. Like, ships are so easy to sink.
True, true, true. No, you're right. You're right. And then we cut to Zook.
Not so easy to sink.
Well, true. Not every ship is like the Titanic. That's true.
That's fair. Anyway, so yeah, we then go to Zuko and Azula. These turtle ducks or duck turtles, I don't know which one goes first. Very cute. I love them.
Turtle ducks, that's what they call them. Okay. And then you know what's funny? As soon as Azula's like shadow enters the picture, they all like run away, the turtle ducks, which is funny because Azula must have like tormented them or something when they were kids.
Yeah, like imagine being so scary that these animals have like an innate fear of you and like dash away as soon as they see you. Like that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what she did to him.
Right? Like, I mean, she probably, like, used him as target practice. Like, Azula as a kid, I would not feel safe.
Same, same.
Yeah, so then, like, Azula's, you know, talking to Zuko. Azula, this whole episode, is just being disrespectful. The whole time, just being rude, saying, like, yeah, like, you know, the Avatar's dead. Like, there's no way the Avatar could have survived. Like, I don't know how she knows, but the fact that she's like twisting the knife is so evil.
Yeah, how did she know? How is Azula so perceptive to know that Aang did survive the blow that she landed?
That is a great question. I mean, clearly she's perceptive. She won our fake Survivor season.
True.
Yep. But like, I do not get it because she is just like so on top of it and she's right. Maybe the Fire Nation just has incredible intuition. Like, this officer knew the ship was commandeered. Azula knows somehow the Avatar's still alive. Like, these people are just, like, next-level reads.
Maybe just part of being a Fire Nation member. You gotta have the intuition stat maxed out.
I mean, that's a pretty clutch stat. Thank goodness I'm Fire Nation.
True, us Earthbenders don't have that, sadly.
No way. It's all intuition over here, baby. Anyway... yeah, she's like twisting the knife here. She's saying like, unless he miraculously survived. And then of course we get another, cutback to the part of last episode, where Katara is talking about her, spirit water.
Yeah. Yeah. And Zook, she's talking to it to Zuko, but then Zuko's like, no, he tells Azula, there's no way Aang could have survived. So even though he knows deep down, Aang probably did survive due to the spirit water.
Yeah. It just seems weird that she knows. She's just next level, I guess. I mean, what can you do? Anyway, so she does that. We'll see later. She like twists the knife even further. But before that, we get back to the Team Avatar fight. And this is where like the fight just drags, because this really should have been like a 1 second thing. And instead we have Toph like sending Earth, their way. Like, I don't know. It should have just been,
And I was happy though, cause I got to see Pipsqueak incorporated into the fight. Cause he's like carrying the rocks for Toph to shoot. So I'm like, yeah, Pipsqueak, let's go. So I was happy to see, but you're right. Besides that, that's why I was saying, is this fight even worth ranking? It might become like our lowest ranked fight if we do rate it.
That's true. I mean, that like, I am going to rate it very poorly because it should have been absolutely trivial to sink the ship. And instead Katara creates steam at one point. To make it, or fog, I guess, to make it hard to see. Like, what? Like, everything in this fight was so extra. And then Aang's, like, wanting to fight. And, like, it's like, no, you can't fight yet.
Should we get into the fight? That's this whole scene, right?
Yeah, yeah. We can get into it.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, you've basically been summing it up, so.
I mean, it's not that interesting. I guess one thing that does happen is that they send a harpoon into the Team Avatar ship. But then Katara is able to like patch that up using ice, really quickly. So that was pretty clever.
Yeah. Katara's waterbending is on full display here, but I'm surprised she couldn't sink the ship with her waterbending.
I agree. Like she should have been able to do this very quickly and
like cause a whirlpool or something. I don't know.
Exactly. The one thing that I really did appreciate is so Aang's not in the fight because he's hidden. Sokka's also not in the fight for no reason. Like Sokka's not in this fight. It's inexplicable. He doesn't even try to do it. He's literally saying, let us handle this, but he doesn't even fight. He just like sits there. He knows how useless he is.
Isn't that Sokka's MO though? He just knows like it's all like Toph makes that joke, I think, in the chase where it's like Toph, Katara, and Aang are ready to fight. She's like, you just sit there and look pretty.
No, but even when like he is just effectively sitting there and looking pretty, he tries. Like he'll throw his boomerang, he'll like go for a slice or something. Like he will do something, and he's about to get a lot more useful going forward. Like when he gets his sword and Sokka's master coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, like he just is doing nothing. He's chilling. It's his off day for the fights.
Yeah, I mean, he's just there babysitting. Aang is basically his chore for this fight.
Yeah. Yeah, babysitting Aang. That's a pretty bad duty. It's got to be rough whenever like Toph's on that duty, and then like their fighting stats go way down. Like on Toph's off day, it's like, all right, we really can't get into any good fights today because we might actually lose.
True. Yeah, Toph. I don't think it takes a babysitting Aang shift. I think they just don't put her on it.
That's fair. It's probably a Sokka exclusive job. It's probably like Sokka's niche. Sokka and Bato.
I wonder what Aang and Bato talk about, like how shit the episode was.
Bato is like, hey, you really weren't playing in character. It really didn't seem to match with the rest of your character progression. And he's like, okay, but you're a terrible episode. And that's the conversation.
Yep, that's what they talked about.
I was going to say they talk about like Bitcoin, like Ethereum. They're like real finance bros. Like Bato's heavy into finance.
Wow, I didn't know Bato probably bought a lot of GME, I bet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
You think Bato is making money off crypto? Or you think Bato's a crypto failure? Okay.
Yeah, Bato buys the top, and then as soon as it goes down, panic sells. Like, Bato's get scared. No diamond.
Bato buys high and sells low.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that. That's a way to lose money.
Yeah, so then in this fight, Sokka says things couldn't get much worse, and then the serpent from Serpent's Past comes in. And this is the most random ending to this fight. The serpent just randomly decides to choose to take down the Fire Nation ship. This is really like a Deus Ex Machina here, in my opinion.
So the serpent rolls up and is like trying to pick sides. First is going to attack Team Avatar, but then the Fire Nation like hits the serpent in the face or something, and so like the serpent like decides to play vindictively or like something like that, I guess. But yeah, it was so weird because the fight should have been over in 5 seconds, and instead we have the serpent come up to end the fight. Like, you have benders who can sink ships.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess with Aang injured, they just couldn't make the fight interesting for some reason, because this is one of the few fights in the whole series we get without Aang, and it's just not that good.
I mean, yes, but like there are other fights that have not had Aang. Like the most iconic fight in the entire series is like when Zula and Zula. Well, okay, that is who fights. Zuko and Azula fight at the end of book three. Like you don't need Aang to make the fight interesting. Crummy job here. Anyway, so they're going to go get some dinner after the fight, after the serpent wins. They tell Sokka, or sorry, Sokka says that you need to cover your arrow. And Aang's like really upset about that, really not wanting to do that. I think that makes sense. I think asking him to do it's like it's a touchy subject. Obviously he has to, but like, yeah.
I think, but you have to bring it up though. Like I think Sokka was in the right here to let him know that he should get it covered.
Yeah, no, that is fair. Yeah. Yeah, because there's no other way around it. No, you're right. I was wrong. Hand up on that one. Anyway, so they're going to try to go get some food. Like, Aang's still, like, just very, very moody. Anything from this scene?
Is this, like, the Aang and Katara scene when Katara, like, brings in the food? Or Katara says she'll stay behind, and then they talk?
Yeah, I mean, they talk for a little bit. They're like, Aang's like, I'm doing this myself. Like, I'm not going to let anyone help me. It's like, all right, that's going to be true for about 5 minutes until you turn
online. True, because this conversation is happening with like 6 minutes left in the episode. So you're right. It literally is going to be like 5 minutes before he changes his mind.
Like, okay, what are we having this, like, I don't know, big moment for? Like, he's making a huge statement and it's like, whatever. Oh, I forgot the most important part from the scene. As they're walking in, there's like water dripping down. So that's like, it's super annoying when water's dripping down. If I was a waterbender, the first thing that I would do is I would stop any dripping water. Any leaks would be fixed. Like, I'm not going to let water drip in my room and annoy me all day. The fact that Aang did not do that shows that he's in a terrible mental state.
I don't know if it shows that he's in a terrible mental state. Maybe it's just something to do, just listening to the water. Maybe it's like a metronome for him. Who knows?
That is an insane take. It's like one of my pet peeves is like when noises happen when noises are happening consistently, but not on purpose. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Makes great. Sense. I get it. Like water dripping like off your gutter or something.
I hate it. I hate it. Yeah. In fact, I would love to be a waterbender so I could stop all of those noises, or all at least liquid related noises like that. Anyway, so then Aang sends Katara away. Katara also does not fix the water dripping. And we go to the Fire Nation capital.
I want to state something here, though. I like the transition here, because then Aang's like explaining to Katara that like he failed, that the Earth King's fallen for good. He hates the invasion plan. He wants to face Fire Lord alone, yada, yada. And then she says, is there anything you need? And he says, I need to redeem myself. I need my honor back. And then we cut to Zuko entering the Fire Nation chambers, which was a very good transitional shot by the animators. So that was like the best part of the, or one of the best parts of the episode for me, this transition to Zuko.
That is very true. Thank you for not letting me skip over that. Like that is, that was very good to have that like transition. And I think they really do interesting stuff when they like shoot Zuko's face in a way that like shows one or the other side of it. Like I do think that's always very interesting, like what kind of thing they're like, what kind of story they're telling when they're only showing half of his face.
Yeah, because this transition was cool, because it was half of Aang's face then transitioned to half of Zuko's face. So shout out the animators there.
The writers needed some help, but the animators on point.
Always.
Anyway, then Katara goes back to get some food. Aang's not there. Then we go back to Zuko. Then we see Ozai. We see Ozai for the first time. We get Ozai's face. Was this worth 3 seasons of buildup to see Ozai's face?
Not necessarily, but I guess it was worth 3 seasons of buildup to hear his voice, because I love Mark Hamill's voice acting. Whenever Ozai talks, it's like so chilling. It's like, it's just like that scene in Lion King where they're like, oh, it's just, the hyenas are saying like, oh, say Mufasa. It's like, ooh, Mufasa, ooh. It's just like every time he talks, it's like, ooh. It's just like a chilling voice. So great voice acting from Mark Hamill here.
Yeah, I agree. I think that like ultimately his face is just like very, very boring. The fact that they are like building up to it for 3 seasons and then they have the big reveal and it's like, oh, I could have guessed that. Like, that's just what like these people look like in this universe, like just bland face.
True, and he kind of looks like his silhouette from season one. It's like the face doesn't look too different, so I know what you mean. It's the buildup, it's like, eh.
Yeah, but the voice acting is great here. Like, it is just so, like, he's just so imposing. I absolutely love the character. And Zuko here just has to be, like, happy. I'm surprised that we don't see anything bigger with Zuko being happy, because, like, he hears the words that he's been longing to hear for so long. Like, Ozai says to him, "You've redeemed yourself, my son." Like, that's exactly what he was pining for all of season one.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. That's what he was pining for the whole season, his honor and his redemption. What were you? You just had a thought come to you. What's up?
I love Billie Eilish, one of my favorite artists ever. I think that Zuko was probably listening to the song "Everything I Wanted" on repeat, because this is exactly like what he's going through. Like, he gets everything he wanted. He's still not happy and is like struggling to know what he wants to go through from there. I just feel like I'm connected to Zuko's character more than ever through the Billie song.
I can't imagine Zuko listening to Billie Eilish, but hey, maybe like you, he's a huge Billie Eilish stan.
Wait, Zuko would love Billie Eilish. The like moody, slow music, he would be vibing to Billie. Like, me and him would be in the back of the pit, like just dancing.
No, maybe Zuko would be. That's something you should make a Twitter poll. Would Zuko vibe to Billie Eilish? Yes or no? We haven't had Twitter poll since like season one, but why not?
I will combine my two loves. Oh, another thing that we haven't talked about since season one is a blanket fort. Zach, have you made a blanket fort?
I don't even remember this conversation from season
one. Oh my gosh. I made an epic, epic blanket fort, and I was telling you about it on the podcast.
Oh yeah. Oh man, anyway. It's been a while. No, I've never made a blanket fort since. And they have a dope community episode with blanket forts. I kind of wish I made one now.
You can. It's not too late. You can make one tonight.
I'll try.
Seize the day. All right. Perfect. Okay. I will tweet that out if Zuko would be a Billy fan.
Oh, and then we kind of get cross-cutting between Ozai and the Hokoda scene. So do you want to talk about one scene and then want to talk about the other?
Yeah, let's talk about the Zuko and Ozai scene since we're here. Okay. Because I think that the like scene with Katara is like pretty important, and we should just like cover that like without breaking it up. So yeah, like we go to, you know, the other scene, but we'll stick with the Zuko of it all. Ozai here is saying exactly what he wants to hear. He's saying how proud he is. And then we get a reveal that Azula said that Azula said that Zuko was the one to take down the Avatar and not Azula.
Yeah, we see Zuko's eyebrow raise here. We know he's kind of curious as to what kind of stunt Azula's trying to pull. And yeah, Ozai tells him she was amazed and impressed by your power and ferocity at the moment of truth, which I don't know. I just thought that was a cool line.
Yeah. Is that what you want me to say to you is that I'm impressed with your power and veracity at podcasting?
Yeah, there we go. It just makes me feel good. Gas me up some more.
All right. Add this to the list of things to tweet. Power and veracity. That's a hard word to spell.
Wrap out of context. Then I have a field day with this podcast, I feel like.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's a great Twitter account. That's all that I think is important from that scene. I think the scene with Katara and Hakoda is very good, and we should actually talk about Avatar for a second.
Yeah, I agree.
She first goes and complains about Aang, leaving and how he has all this responsibility. Hakoda, like, takes his side here, which makes sense because this is, like, sort of his mindset. Like, his mindset is, like, you know, he's trying to go out and save the world. Like, he's trying to help, which is exactly the choice that he ended up making for himself when he left the Water Tribe. And Katara really just has such a good line here. I give you 70% chance that you clip this.
I did not clip it. I wanted to clip the scene. Did you clip it by any chance?
I did not. I literally was watching it. And after the scene, I was like, damn, that was so good. And I was like, I wrote my notes. I said, 70% chance that clipped it.
Nah, it was the 30% chance. I thought about clipping this whole, because like the music was swelling. This was such a beautiful scene. I thought about clipping it and I was like, I've clipped enough.
I feel like we use it sparingly and in the right places. But to recap what she said, like she's going in, at first she's talking about Aang saying like, you know, yes, the world needs him, but we need him too. How could he leave us behind? And all of this is about Aang, like it is what Aang just did. And but Hakoda has the presence of mind to know that Katara is also talking about him as well. And Katara like really breaks down, just saying like, how could you leave us, Dad? And that line, Mae Whitman's acting, both incredible.
In my notes, so I have good. Mae Whitman's voice acting in this scene is top notch. You can really sense like the pain in Katara's voice, and you can feel how much she missed her father in that moment.
My note said Mae Whitman pop off. So you did a lot better. You did a lot better at summarizing my thoughts for me. But
pop off queen.
Pop off queen. Like, but it was just so good. Like, I did really appreciate this scene. I like, it was kind of jarring to have Katara so upset with Hakoda early on, but I did think that they really did a good job. The writers did a good job of bringing it back, having it make sense, and having this like big emotional moment in the episode.
Yeah, and this scene is like probably the highlight of the episode for me.
For sure. Yeah, and I think that like this also shows Katara's maturity, because Katara like in a bit will say, like, I understand why you had to go, but I still feel bad. Like, having that sort of cognitive dissonance where it's like, I know it's the right choice, but I'm still not happy about it. Like, I really did appreciate that. I thought this was great. Loved it.
Yeah. And then Hakoda lets her know that every night he missed them so much, that he missed Sokka and Katara so much that it would ache. And you get this touching moment between Hakoda and the sobbing Katara here. And they embrace, and it's like a beautiful, loving moment.
I don't believe him. I don't believe his heart ached every night. That's kind of a lot of nights.
I think so. I think a father with your kids leaving for war. I think his heart ached every night. That's a cold take from you.
No,
Jacob.
I don't think so. I don't think it ached. I think he's a liar. I'm not saying he didn't miss them. I'm just saying his heart didn't ache every night. It's a little bit dramatic.
I think his heart was aching every single night.
Well, agree to disagree. Okay, we go back to Aang. Aang is like flying around. Then he sees a blockade and he decides to swim for like, I don't know, 200 meters underwater. Like, what? Very impressive.
Yeah, in like one breath. It's crazy, honestly. Aang, we were talking about him being in the Olympics for like a bunch of things, but now we know like swimming he can do as well. He could be like a modern day Michael Phelps.
It would be impressive. How far do you think that you could hold your breath underwater and swim?
I can't swim, so like 5 seconds.
So, yep, not very far at all. Yeah. I think I could get like 20 meters, maybe.
That's not too bad.
I mean, Aang does 10x what I did.
That's Aang. That's Aang. That's not a normal human. That's the Avatar.
That's fair. So then Aang like falls off his... like a glider or whatever, because the sea gets too choppy, and he ends up like falling down.
He finds a log, though. Sorry to interrupt. And he starts windsurfing, just like our Olympic gold medalist boy. He starts windsurfing on the log.
Oh yeah. He does find the log. I did like that quite a lot. I wonder if this is why the person like went into windsurfing.
Yeah,
like,
that's what I was thinking when I watched this scene. Did he watch this and think that was something he wanted to do? Interesting.
Yeah, and the piece of driftwood that he finds is like absolutely perfect for like windsurfing. Very lucky to find the piece.
Extremely lucky.
So I guess if the Fire Nation is good at intuition, then the like the airbenders are good at finding random objects.
That's their hidden talent. We'll add one for earthbenders and waterbenders soon.
Yeah, we'll get there. Okay, so then the next scene that we get is Zuko goes to confront Azula. My favorite part from this scene is that Zuko calls his dad father. I love this. I do this too, and my parents hate it. They detest when I call them father and mother.
Really? Well, I had to see in my culture, we have like a Somalian terms for father and mother. So we don't, I don't say father and mother. So I've never had that issue. Though occasionally I'll be like mom, and my mom doesn't like that. She prefers I call her the Somalian term.
Then mother would not be good. You should not go for mother then.
I'll call her mother after this and we'll be like, hey, mother. And she's just going to like slap me in the head.
That's about what my parents feel as well. Anytime I say like mother to my mom, she's always like, yes, child.
That's pretty funny.
child. I wonder if this is where I got it from. I heard Zuko do it, and I'm like, ooh, okay, I can try that.
I think my favorite part of this scene is when Zuko's like, "What well, you know what you did," and then she's like, Azula's like, "You're gonna have to be a little more specific." And I love this line from Azula because it's like as if she's got like a million little evil irons in the fire and doesn't know what Zuko's referring to.
Yes, no, that is totally right. You could read this as her like, you know, messing with him a little bit, or it's like there are so many evil things she's done that she can't keep track and you have to let her know which one you know about, because she's not going to reveal one of the other ones that is unknown.
Not yeah, facts.
That's great. The music in this scene was so intense, I could barely take it. Like, the music that plays as Azula's talking was just so, like, unnerving. It really was. This was crazy. Did it have the same reaction to you?
Yeah, the music this episode overall was really good. We don't talk about the music enough on this podcast, but the music throughout this episode was just beautiful and, like, perfectly placed, I feel like, every time.
Yeah. And like, here, the whole time, like, she's revealing all of this, saying, like, oh, like, what motive could I have? Like, I'm just trying to get you to have all the glory. Like, unless the Avatar happens to be alive. Like, just twisting the knife each time. Like, she reveals her entire plan, says everything that she's doing, and you can't do anything about it. Like, oh my god.
Poor Zuko in this moment, just getting absolutely bodied by Azula, I feel like.
Yes. He has no response. Literally afterwards, she like goes on this whole speech, says like, sleep well, Zuzu, and we know like she doesn't like being called that. And he doesn't even respond. Like, he's just like, great, I'm taking the L. Too bad.
Yeah, and he took a fat L there indeed. Is that the last we get of Zuko this episode? I think it is. Poor Zuko.
I believe it is. There's only,
not the best like, episode for him.
No, this has to be like the worst episode for Zuko. He's sad the whole time, and then like he gets like you know, absolutely destroyed by his sister. Like, she just demolishes him, sets him up for failure. Like, terrible look from him.
Facts.
Yeah, so then we see Aang. Aang's like about to drown in a wave or something, and then he has like every spirit that we've talked to comes back. I'm surprised we didn't get like Ko the Face Stealer to show up and be like, you can do it, Aang.
Oh, that would have been hilarious if they had Ko the Face Stealer pop up.
That would have been funny. It would have been some much needed comedy in the episode.
It's surprising that Yue pops up, because Yue and Aang didn't really have much of a relationship from what we saw in the show. So, but I guess the Avatar is connected with every spirit, so it kind of makes sense.
I agree. I'm not sure they really talked like at all. But you know, first time for everyone, I guess. The spirits help him out. They give him some motivation. He creates a tidal wave. That's about all I have on that.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. With the tidal wave, do you think he created it himself, or like Yue used like the moon powers to like help him with the tides?
Yeah, maybe Yue like helped out. He's like a pretty good waterbender. He could probably do it.
True, but then I was surprised he was drowning and then all of a sudden was able to like waterbend the big wave.
I think he was drowning because he's just like giving up. Like, he's fine. Like, he can choose to waterbend. I think he was just like over it.
Okay, we'll go with that. That makes sense to me.
Perfect.
And then I have a question for you. How did Katara, Toph, and Sokka find him on this island? Were they just flying on Appa and they just saw him? Why, were you going to ask the same thing?
Well, I had in my notes like, oh, it seems like they had to go meet Guru Patik to give them the connection to find each other. Like, that's the only logical explanation. Because, like, they find each other randomly. Like, it must have been the guru just, like, rolled up and was like, hey, just so you know, Aang's over here. Like, that's the only logical explanation.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess the guru just rolled on in. And then, so Aang takes his glider and burns it. And I just want to say, while he's doing this, I'm fairly certain he was stepping on a crevice with magma in it.
Yes. Yes, he was, Zach.
So how does Aang like have not like have burnt feet in this moment? That's all I was thinking about. I know we get like this nice touching moment. Katara, Toph, and Sokka and Momo run up on Aang and give him a hug as he wakes up. And yeah, he takes his glider and decides to burn it. But yeah, he was stepping on magma here. I'm surprised his feet aren't burnt to bits.
Just straight up stepping on magma. Like, I've walked across like hot coals before because like I wanted to see if I could do it. Didn't hurt that bad. Okay. I got like a few blisters. He steps on actual lava. Like, your foot would be gone. I had that exact thing in my notes. I was like, how did this man walk across lava with zero hesitation?
I guess this is the one goof by the animators. They like had Aang stepping on a rock that had magma in it, but they were impeccable throughout the rest of the episode. So can't give them too much fault.
Well, yeah, we can make fun of him a bit, but I'm glad you mentioned it, because I had the exact thing where I was like, no, you can't step on lava. That's too much. It's actually in the goofs on the wiki. When Aang plunges his staff into the side of the volcano, he's standing on hot rock and his feet should have been burned.
There we go. So it's an actual legit goof.
It should have been.
And that's it for the episode. Season 3, episode 1, The Awakening. That's all for us.
That's the episode.
What are your thoughts, Jacob?
It's fine. The professor wrote in, and I think he like sums up my thoughts pretty well, so I'll read those. He said, it's a premiere episode, and because of that, it has to do a lot of table setting. Sometimes table setting episodes feel boring and wearisome, but I think this one did a really compelling job. It's a lot of table setting, a lot of table clearing from the season before. Like, I don't know. Like, I think the professor ends up being a bit higher on it than I am. But like, I ultimately, it's a fine episode. What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a mute, boring episode, but it does have high highs. I think like that transition I talked about from Aang to Zuko, the whole scene with Katara and Hakoda, the Azula and Zuko scene at the end, closer to the end of the episode, where she's like laying out her whole plans, like a classic antagonist, I thought were high highs, and just kind of the rest of the episode, it's kind of boring. But overall, should we dive into our ranking? Because I'm ready to rate it.
Yeah, let's rank it. The listeners rated this a 3.36. Not a super high episode, but we've had some great ones before. I'm giving this a 3.1. I ultimately can't give it a B. I think that it is like, it's passing, but it's not like, it's not excelling.
I have the exact same score, 3.1.
Zach, we are just so in sync.
We are simpatico.
I love that. So that will make the score. Uh-oh, my calculator did not work.
Well, should I do some plugs while we do it? You can write in I'm avatar. Already, there you go. No.
3.19.
There we go. Sorry, my bad. I thought the calculator was taking a little longer.
I don't know. I'm quick on the calculator, apparently.
Okay, there we go.
But yes, please do write in and give us your rankings. Every week we'll take the listeners' rankings. So if you do want to give us rankings for the episode, definitely write in. And you can get added to the listener rankings. Also, write in with feedback.
Yeah. Yep. And then we got a tea quartet this week. Am I right?
Oh, are we not doing the battle? Do we decide?
Okay,
we're
I guess
doing
we'll,
it?
We'll do no. We'll do the.
We
battle.
At least have to say whether we're doing it or not. Also, it is so dark in my house.
It got dark real quick. Okay, we'll do the battle of the battle ranking. So as always, you guys can write in your scores. You guys know that. And I'll start this battle. I'm going to give a 1.5 out of 4, I think. It's not that good. It's like the least memorable battle I've watched, I feel like. I don't remember a single thing for this. I didn't even remember the sea serpent comes back, to be honest. So it shows you how little attention I was paying to in season 3.
I think that this might be a moment that I'll end up regretting because I'm going to only give this a 1. But I think this will be like my Batu of the Water Tribe, where looking back, I wish I gave it a 0. out of 4, it's just bad. It's just like, it's not compelling. It is definitely the worst fight that we've had of the series. So I'll give it a 1. It'll be at a 1.25. And there you go. That is our battle of the battle rankings. We have a little bit of listener feedback.
Oh, let's dive into it.
So, well, Sarah wrote that the Zuko storyline is so tense. I love that there's a struggle with both Aang and Zuko struggling to accept how the world views them versus how they see themselves. I thought that this was good because we've talked about the Zuko and Aang storyline quite a bit. Showing, you know, the differences between those two characters and how they're constantly being juxtaposed. And I thought this was like a really nice way to like bring that comparison to the forefront. Zach, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed the parallels between Zuko and Aang this episode. I thought the writers did a decent job.
Yep. And then we had John write in with a few questions. John wrote, should they have taken another form of transportation over a Fire Nation ship? maybe a blimp or maybe a hot air balloon. Zach, do they pick the right form of transportation?
Yeah, how would they fit everybody on a hot air balloon? I don't think they could. A blimp, maybe, because I don't know how aircraft control was like back in their day. So a blimp maybe would be easier to disguise, but they have APA, so I don't know.
Yeah, you're definitely running into less people if you're on the blimp. There's not many like things in the air. Yeah, the hot air balloon wouldn't work. I guess they could have gotten a few hot air balloons, but then that's probably not as easy. But I do like the, like, in the canon, like, they rolled up somewhere, they had, like, six options, and they get to pick which one they want. They're like, do we want the blimp, the air balloon? We'll take the boat. We'll go ahead with the boat.
We'll add that to the head our head canon.
Exactly. And what else is in the head canon? The only thing that sticks with me is the pocket fish, which could have been useful to get it could have been useful to get the serpent on their side.
True. Chuck the pocket fish on the opposing ship. Hope the serpent goes and tries to eat it.
Right? Yeah, not too bad. Anyway, all right, there you go. That's our listener feedback. Always write in avatar@postshowrecaps.com. We do love when people write in. It makes it a ton of fun to podcast. Anyway, we have a T quartet. Zach, you want to let the people know what we're going to be doing?
Let me know if I got it right. So we got a ketchup, mustard, barbecue sauce, and what's the last one?
It can be anything. Mayonnaise, I think, is...
It was mayonnaise. Mayonnaise, yeah. All right. I'll start here. I think ketchup is going to be the waterbender. I think ketchup's the most versatile. You could put it on almost anything. I think ketchup is like the water, like waterbending. I think ketchup is the waterbender here. Do you agree?
I completely agree with you. Ketchup is like, it is change. It is versatile. You are completely correct. Straight facts. Okay. Is there another obvious one to you?
I think barbecue sauce out of these four is the firebender. I feel like with the flavor, it's going to hit you in the mouth. You're going to feel it. You're going to taste it. You know what I mean? So I think barbecue is the firebender. What do you think?
I agree. It's also, that's beautiful because, you know, fire and water are opposites, and barbecue sauce is essentially just ketchup with spice. Like, this is great. Like, we're getting synergies left and right here. All right. The last two, I think, are a little bit hard.
I agree.
I'm going to give mayonnaise to Earth, I believe. I believe that it is more Earth, if I had to say. The reason why is because, like, mustard is just not Earth. Mustard is, like, it's, like, weird. It sticks out a bit too much. It's not, like, the stable thing that you go to. Mayonnaise is used in so many other recipes that I feel like it is the, like, stable ingredient if we are going to be picking any of those. So I'm going to go mayonnaise Earth. Any objections?
No objections at all. I mean, mustard is air is kind of, I mean, this whole exercise is kind of a stretch, but I mean, mustard doesn't necessarily, is not a one for one to air, but I think the other three we actually were able to pull out good reasons for this, shockingly. So yeah, there we go.
It worked out. I mean,
yeah, it worked out.
Yeah, we had zero prep. Yeah, I came up with this like 1 minute before we hit record, but I think this worked out perfectly.
I agree.
Oh, we didn't even say what the tea quartet was.
I said what it was. I said it was ketchup.
Sorry. I'm saying like what we do in the segment. Like we just went right into it.
Oh, we just went right into it.
We haven't been doing this for months. Like people could have forgotten and they're just like, what the hell are these people talking about?
Okay. So we'll explain it, I guess, now. So the T quartet, we sort four random things into bending slots. So that's what we did this.
Previously we were taking like actual, like groups of four characters, but you know what? I think it's fun if we do random things. My favorite one that we did was the four ghosts.
I thought in the moment, I was like, this is horrible podcasting. And then right after I listened to it, I was like, that was actually pretty good. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Right? I think if we're having fun, that's what matters here. But anyway, if you have any other T quartet ideas, please do let us know. I know that we have not done Golden Girls, but we will eventually do Golden Girls. I know that's one we actually should do. That's a real group. But if you have any silly ideas, we will take those too.
And yeah, I guess that's pretty much it for us this week on Hang In There. Anything else we should touch on, Jacob?
No, I think that's all we got. Zach, where can people keep up with what you're doing?
People can find me on Twitter @ZachMohammed32. And where can they find you, Jacob?
People can find me at JK Redman, and you can also listen to the Brazilian Dragon Pod where I talk about Scooby-Doo with Felipe.
Nice. Yeah, definitely give that a listen. You guys have a lot of fun on that podcast. Pretty hilarious, the stuff you get into, like the fact that you're a time-traveling Akiva and all that stuff.
Yeah, that is a lot of fun. And yeah, Zach, one day you'll come on and talk some Scooby-Doo with us. So that's,
yeah, I'd be down.
Very fun. All right, cool. Yeah, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll be back talking The Headband with Davis Kama Will.
Yeah, that's what we'll be doing. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm excited for that episode. That episode's a lot of fun. We get the Wang fire jokes and stuff. A lot more lighthearted than the episode we watched today.
Yeah, that is a very funny episode. Like lots and lots of jokes. Also, it means that we get to complete the trifecta of all of the hosts of the Phineas and Ferb What You Doing Pod.
True. I didn't even think of that. You're absolutely right.
There you go. Yep. Anyway, that's all we have for you this week. Until next time, see ya.
Peace out.